Welcome to the PCTR Podcast. I'm Robbie Utterberg, Senior Pastor. I want to thank you for listening today. We hope that you hear from God and that this podcast encourages you in your faith journey. You can connect with us on social at facebook.com/PCTRNJ or our Instagram handle, PCTRNJ. Or you can find more information or resources at PCTR.org. Have a great day. Peace.
Good morning. Happy New Year. I'm Christian, one of the pastors here, if we haven't had a chance to meet. And it's good to be here in 2021. I am certainly looking forward to good things in this year, better things than last year. I really wanted June for Christmas, but it's on back order. And so we'll have to wait, and we'll get there all in good time. But something that I'm really looking forward to, hopefully, Lord willing, will get, is less time on Zoom and FaceTime and all this video conferencing type stuff. I've had quite a bit of it in 2020, and I won't miss it when we have to do it less. And it is a miracle that we can connect via screens and internet and technology. We just had Zoom. We just video conference in the middle of a worship service, which is amazing. And thank you, Robbie. They don't teach you how to do that in seminary. We've really had to kind of be creative and learn and think on our feet. But there's a limitation. I think God has wired us to not be satisfied with just images, not just 2D representations, but actually to connect, and to connect in a real way with people face-to-face and side-by-side and even human touch. I am, by nature, how I am wired is I am an introvert, and so I can get by perhaps with less human contact than other people. In fact, a lot of human contact can be overwhelming, but I'll tell you, you know what? I could do with a little bit more. And the hope of this series that we're in, it's a mini-series last week and this week, is that Jesus would become more than two-dimensional, but will become even more connected, that we would see him for who he is, that he is not simply just a two-dimensional Savior, but he is a person, and he is a son, and he has characteristics and priorities, and he has a variety of sides to him. And I think we can appreciate that and see that in what's going on. Last week, we looked at that unique account of Jesus between childbirth and adulthood. We have this one biblical account, and that was when he was a tween, 12 years old, when he his parents were on a road trip heading home, and they realized that young Jesus had stayed behind in Jerusalem. And through that, we see that Jesus had a unique awareness of his relationship with his heavenly Father and his priorities and characteristics. Jesus' priorities and characteristics really kind of came through. And I hope that kind of fleshes out Jesus a little bit. And I was thinking about what to share on this Sunday, and I thought about, well, we're still in Christmas time. We're in the Christmas season that goes till Epiphany, January 6th, which is Wednesday. That's the 12th day of Christmas. I know we kind of front-load it, but we're still in the Christmas season, hence the decorations and the colors. But Epiphany can go one of two ways. One, it can remember the appearance of the Magi coming to see young Jesus, or it can also be a recognition of Jesus' birth. His baptism. His baptism. And I thought, since we've already talked about the Magi, I actually preached about that in Advent when we were talking about the sense of sight, let's focus on his baptism, the beginning of his earthly ministry. And so we'll see that in our passage. You're going to also see a lot of John the Baptist, and often people will narrow down the passage where you don't have as much John the Baptist, but I think it's really important to see how John the Baptist prepares the way and how John the Baptist has a message given to him by God and how Jesus has a unique message and a unique way, and they complement one another. And I hope that that comes out in this passage. And so let's take a look at the passage that we have here. It's Matthew chapter 3. Listen for God's word for us today. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight his paths." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the foot of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as he was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Wow, and amen. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we ask today here in this space and through the hearing of this word that your Holy Spirit would alight upon us in a way that opens up our hearts and our minds to see you fresh, with fresh eyes and a fresh heart, that we would come to know and love you more. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, amen. And so we have John the Baptist, who very much emphasizes the law of God. He is very fiery, literally fiery, referencing fire. The axe is at the base of the tree. He definitely emphasizes it. Rare is someone that can out-emphasize or have as fiery sermons as John the Baptist. And then we have Jesus, who brings the gospel. And we, from Jesus, we learn both the law of God, but also the gospel. And Jesus offers us an opportunity to have the law, but surpass the law with a personal relationship with God, and thereby helping us to be people who want to follow God's law. And that's part of how they complement one another. And Jesus comes to John asking to be baptized. And it's surprising, it's almost comical what happens here, that John the Baptist is actually hesitant, and his cousin, remember, they're of some relationship. We don't know exactly what type of cousins they are, but they are related. And he says to his cousin, "You're coming to me? Why do you do this?" And in a funny way, just as John the Baptist had barred the Pharisees and Sadducees, so also he tries to stop Jesus to participate in this baptism. But Jesus convinces him that it's important that this happens. That yes, he doesn't need it. He's admitting that he doesn't need it because he is the one person that does not repent. Repent literally means stop going your way, turn, and head towards God's way for us. And Jesus has nothing to repent from. but he comes here to the waters of the Jordan, here in the preaching of John the Baptist, and says that it's important that he does this, that he is in some sense coming low in an amazing way, this Savior of ours that deserves all honor and glory and praise comes low for us, and in some sense comes alongside us, like shoulder to shoulder, and says, I'm here with you, and I'm willing to do this, to connect with you and identify with you in the midst of this, even though I don't need it. I don't need it, but I'm here to connect with you. And that's exactly what he's doing. And Jesus starts his ministry. This is the beginning of his adult ministry in this gospel. These are his first adult words, that he must fulfill all righteousness by doing this. And it's, I think, notable, and it's perhaps more well-known, that Jesus ends his earthly ministry of 3 years on a cross between two thieves, one that calls out and berates him and one that asks for his help. But at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he has come low, he is there starting in the waters of the Jordan with penitent sinners, realizing they need to come and be washed clean, as John has opened their eyes to the needs that they have. And so that's what we have in Jesus. And I wonder what it must have meant for Jesus at that baptism, and especially in the events that happen next as he is baptized and comes up out of the waters. Here comes the Holy Spirit. Heaven opens up, and in the form of a dove, this beautiful image that evokes God's Spirit hovering over the waters at creation. And also it evokes the image of the dove with the olive branch in the Noah account, and the hope of new life and peace is possible. Well, here comes the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove and alighting upon him, and in some sense receiving the Holy Spirit that will be upon him and work through him throughout his ministry and in fulfilling Scripture. And then it doesn't stop there. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the Heavenly Father also speaks into the situation and says, this is my Son in whom I am pleased. Amazing. But that must have meant to Jesus. And Jesus receives this as his anointing and his inauguration. I don't know if you have Netflix. Does anyone have Netflix and watch The Crown? It's this series that kind of follows the royals, and you actually have the coronation of young Queen Elizabeth when her father had passed. There's this big deal about her coronation, and one day when she passes, we'll have a new coronation. Well, this is Jesus' coronation and the beginning of his ministry here in this time and in this place. And it begins, and it reveals Jesus' character. And I hope through this, he's becoming more relatable. He is someone unique, but he has depth to him. That it's not just two-dimensional, but there's a depth to him that we can start to see and come to know a little bit more. As we spend more and more time with him, we have the opportunity to connect with him more and more. Just a quick side note, that this is one of the places that we find the Trinity in the Bible. And it's a key point in the Christian faith that we have the Trinity. Now, some people make the argument like, well, how can the Trinity be a key point of the Christian faith if the word Trinity doesn't even appear in the Bible? And I think that thinking doesn't really necessarily hold up, because, you know what? The name Bible doesn't appear in the Bible, but it doesn't mean we can't believe in the Bible. And the Trinity is here. And if you're ever wondering where to find the Trinity, go to the banks of the Jordan, because here we have Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove, and God speaking, the Heavenly Father speaking, that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And so as we come to the banks of the Jordan, we get to see Jesus, and we get to see a little bit of the Holy Spirit, and we get to see a little bit of the Heavenly Father. And might that open up and feel our awareness and help us to come to know our Lord and Savior more and more today and the days ahead. I've made it a conscious effort to dive into God's Word to really help Jesus become more real and spend face time with Him. I'm reading through Luke and Acts. Acts is Luke's sequel to what happens after the gospel. I invite you to find a way to make Jesus more real for you so that as we come to Him, it's not just a transaction. He's not just a force. The way and the truth and the life is a person. A person that wants to know us, be connected to us, individually connect with us. And so I invite you to think on that and dwell in that and marinate in that in the days ahead. We have a unique opportunity to focus on that as we come to the communion that we have here, this communion that reminds us of the other end of Jesus' ministry, that on the cross and what He did for us, where He talks about offering His body and His blood for our sake. And we have the opportunity to turn towards Jesus and turn towards His way and away from what we have, and to connect with what He offers us. And in this, in some sense, even though He can't come and put His arm around us in this way, the bread and the juice is an opportunity to receive a hug from God. And so let's turn to Him now in prayer as we prepare to receive. Please join me. Lord, we thank You for sending Your Son, who has moved and acted in amazing ways, in surprising ways. You surprise us again and again. Jesus surprised John the Baptist. Lord, surprise us and meet us here in this time. In simple bread and simple juice, help us to connect with You, that we would sense You, that we would be spiritually connected to You. Lord, help us to turn from our ways and what we think is best and in our own judgment, to turn to Your ways, that we would be moved by what we have in Your Son, that we would be so motivated to live the life that You have called us to live. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.